Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. These are God's words. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that Yahweh had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before Yahweh to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now this seems like a very strange thing, but the Holy Spirit does give us a couple of clues for understanding it well, and then a huge help in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. Whenever the Lord's word interprets itself, it is, of course, a great help to us. But already here, just in Exodus, we have Moses coming down from the mountain. We have two new tablets of the testimony in Moses' hand. And this immediately reminds us that this is not the first time this has happened. Moses was coming down before with two new tablets in his hand. And thankfully, there's no golden calf or feast with dancing at the base of the mountain this time. But that had happened the previous time, because in the 40 days and 40 nights, same amount of time that Moses has been up there this time, in the 40 days and 40 nights that time, they had said, "As for this Moses, we do not know what has happened to him." Well, they have a similar experience when Moses returns, because his face is radiating light. Ordinarily, we see things because another light source is reflecting off of them. Moses' face is radiating here its own light. And you might well say, because they are afraid to come near him in verse 30, "As for this Moses, we do not know what has happened to him." And so what the Lord has done is actually a mercy for hard-hearted Israelites. It's not done for Moses' benefit. Moses doesn't even know that his face shines until everybody runs away. If it wasn't so serious, it might almost be comical. Moses coming down from the mountain, "Hey guys, you waited for me, that's great." And everybody running, and, "Wait, where are you going?" But that indicates to us, doesn't it, that the benefit of the face shining is especially for Aaron and the other elders and for all the people. That the Lord gives them a visual cue to honor the word of the Lord in Moses' mouth. It's similar to, and there are other reasons for like lines of sight and acoustics, but it's similar to the reason for the high pulpit in the center of the room in the Reformed Presbyterian worship service. It's not because God has said there shall be a high pulpit in the center of the room. It's because God has made his word the core of the worship service, and the preaching of that word the climax and the primary component of the word in the worship service. And we actually help ourselves. I mean, the person has to stand somewhere, and it has to be at some height, and it's good for him to have a desk so that he can read and use notes, because he's finite and weak, and all of these things are ordered by the light of nature. But we also know that it affects our souls to lift our faces a little bit and to see something that is over us, to remind us that we are sitting under it. And so the Lord gives them a physical cue to remind them that Moses is unto them a representative of the one who dwells in unapproachable light. And if they think a little bit of a shiny-faced man is unapproachable, they run away from him. Maybe they are getting a little bit of the message that God dwells in unapproachable light, and his commandments are to be heeded. Well, 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 tells us, doesn't tell us how he learns about the diminishing effect, but it does tell us that he knew that this light, the shining, was fading. And so he would go in and he would get the words of Yahweh and he would come out and he'd immediately give them the words of Yahweh. And as long as he was delivering the message that he had just gotten, his light would shine with that visual cue to listen to me. Thus saith Yahweh. But then Moses would stop talking and cover his face. And that does two things. One, it leaves them with the memory, the most recent impression, is Moses' face shining and Moses' lips. Moses' face shining with the Lord's light, Moses' lips resounding with the Lord's words, so that they would be helped to keep respecting and revering the word of the Lord on Moses' mouth. But also when he puts his face over the veil over his face, it says, when he finishes speaking with them, he puts the veil over his face. And what that does is it reminds Moses how important it is to him to weigh his words carefully. Now, like we've just heard from Proverbs yesterday, in Proverbs 10, 19 to 21, it's important for all of us to weigh our words. But especially if you're going to be one who is speaking the actual words of God to another. And yes, this means especially those who seek to be elders or hope that God's mercy will be to make of them elders and ministers of the gospel, which are so necessary to every generation of the church and every generation of the nation and every generation of every household. There is not a minister or an elder in every household, but in every household's spiritual health depends on ministers and elders. So it's good for you to desire that and think about that and see if the Lord might not be calling you to that. And if we are going to be speaking the Bible upon the authority of God to others, then we should weigh our words and not use too many. I went through a phase of my ministry where I was convinced by people, even in the ministry, even my presbytery, oh, you should really be the people's friend. By which they didn't mean the one who has a profound interest in their souls and you love them and they love you, but they meant someone who can kind of get down in worldly with them and they all feel familiar with. But all that did was weaken the weightiness of God's words on my lips when I talked to them. And here Moses shows wisdom from the Lord in putting the veil over his face and reserving his words for when he has words from the Lord and the shining face. But we too can learn from that. A husband and a father should be able to have fun with and enjoy his wife, his family, and it doesn't have to be grave and solemn all the time. And yet he should always be speaking in such a way that immediately if he has some words to give to enter into the situation that is from the scripture, an application for his family, lead them before God or put in a word for the Lord as that it would be consistent with the way that he has been speaking. But it's not just those who are in authority, is it? The whole body. Every joint supplies something. Every member does its share. And in that context, in Ephesians 4, part of the share that everyone has for one another is to speak the truth in love. But coming back here from that extended application, we see the need for the people of God to respect the word of God in the face of from the lips of their prophet, by the light of God in the face of their prophet. And for us, this should be the easiest thing in the world. Because our prophet is not Moses, whose glory was fading. That's the application that the apostle makes when he gets into chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Our prophet is the Lord Jesus, the light of whose face never fades, because he's not a man reflecting or refracting the light of God's glory. He is God. And when we are brought to faith, the Spirit makes the light of the knowledge of God's glory to shine in his face, to shine in the face of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And so each of us needs to, when we read our Bible, when we study it together in family worship, when we come together in the public assembly, We need to be asking ourselves, am I treating the words of Jesus as the very words of God? Am I receiving them with joy and responding with love and submitting with obedience to all he says and convicted faith to all that he teaches and obedience to all that he commands? Or would I be helped if God made my preacher's face to shine up like an LED? How sad the state of the soul of the one who would be more affected by that than he would be by the fact that Christ sits on the throne of heaven and that we have his spirit now. May God convince each of us that the words of Scripture are the very words of Jesus, so that we will respond to our God and his glory correctly. Then let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for what you did for constantly rebellious, stubborn-hearted Israel. And we do pray that you would make us to treasure your word, make us to respect even your word that we might want to have, might be right to have on our lips at one moment or another for a brother or a sister, speaking the truth in love. But make us especially to respect your word, we pray, on the pages of Scripture and on the lips of those whom you have set over us in the home and in the church, to be ministers of that word to us, and especially from your Son, who speaks from heaven, where his blood has gone that speaks better than the blood of Abel, but who speaks to us who are on earth from heaven. Grant that we would have submissive hearts by the work of your Spirit, that we would not refuse him who speaks, but that we would know him to be God and see in our hearts by faith the light of the glory of God shining in his face, and would submit ourselves entirely to the Lord Jesus and to his words. We pray that you would give us to believe everything he teaches us and obey everything he commands us, that we would rejoice at the fellowship that we have with him, that we would love him who has so loved us and continues to love us with his words. Do this for us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.